Parents, brothers, sisters, grandparents, guardians, honored guests, and you, the great big class of 2013, allow me to join with the others in welcoming you to this campus and to this day. To the great class of 2013, I have a few things I want to say to you. I met many of you last spring when you came for admissions weekends, and I have been waiting for you. But first, I need to say a few things to your parents and guardians, some of whom are in this room, others who are in nearby rooms watching you and us on large screens, and others who may be in Kenya or China or Ohio watching us on the internet. To parents and guardians, thank you for bringing us your daughters and sons. You have brought us the future. There are rare moments when the familiar past and the unknowable future are joined together, side by side. Moments when you can look forward at one and remember the other at the exact same time. This is one of those days. It is surely impossible for you not to think today of every step your son or daughter has taken so far, and not to think about where these steps will next lead. Perhaps not since the day your children were born and the day you brought them home from the hospital have you felt so acutely the question mark of the future when you looked at them. What will they be? What will they become? Bringing your son or daughter to a college or university is then an enormous and unbounded act of hope. This faculty and this administration recognizes and acknowledges and is inspired by that hope. We are joined in covenant with you because of it. We will honor it as we are honored by it. This is an old school and a good place. Groups of DePaul faculty have welcomed new students to this campus for 173 years. You are at a university that has witnessed two world wars and a civil war. It echoes with the voices of thousands of students and hundreds of DePaul faculty members who have gone before us. And it has thrived through these years because it is a committed place, a place of learning, a place of joy and challenge, a place of virtue. I would like to invite you now, parents, to take a quiet moment in your heart while you sit in seats apart from your sons and daughters to think of them, to wish them luck, to wish them boldness, to wish them joy over the next 4 years. I would ask also, again, in the quiet moment of your heart right now, that you remember this faculty in your thoughts and wish the same for us. Your sons and daughters will feel your thoughts and prayers, and we will too. It is a special day for us too, and this is a special class. It's time for a new season to begin. Now, to the class of 2013, today must seem unimaginably confusing and exciting and overwhelming. And because you're moving heavy things upstairs, it must also seem exhausting. Most of you have mothers and fathers and perhaps youngers and sisters and brothers and grandparents here dropping you off in a place you hardly know. And let's face it, it's a bit overwhelming and fully embarrassing to have your family standing with you in a new room when everyone is wearing shorts, when everything you ever gathered up in your life is in boxes, when they're all in front of you with your new roommate, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to get all your stuff and all their stuff into that small room. And you're trying desperately to think about how exactly you're going to keep your parents from having any sort of opinion about any of this. I can remember with the clarity that actually stuns me how on my first day of college, my mother told my brand new roommate every embarrassing childhood adventure I ever had. Mothers do this. It's sort of their job. I can remember my father having distinct and completely unexplainable preferences for one of the two dressers the college provided for us in our double room. And I watched him sit on that dresser, protecting it for hours, until my roommate had to give it up and use the other dresser. Then I had to bear with my parents as they went through all my cherished stuff, moving it around. Let's face it, having your family members openly discuss your stuff is beyond excruciating. So here's one quick piece of advice. I'm wearing a robe, I'm on a stage, I'm supposed to give you advice. Just agree with your mom and dad today when they tell you where your bed should go and where you should hang your pants. And don't get excited, parents, because literally by tomorrow, class of 2013, you can rearrange it whatever way you want, and really they'll never know. And that seems to be one of the big things about your first day of college, the main question of the first few hours: where can I put all my stuff? And do I have the right stuff? And why does my roommate's stuff seem so different and not like my stuff at all? Well, I'm here to tell you that despite the fact that you loaded up all your stuff this past week, and despite the fact that you went to the store and got more stuff yesterday or even today, you're actually going to have very little of that stuff in just a few years' time. You'll bring some of it back with you your sophomore year, and a lot less of it when you come back for your junior year. And then by senior year, basically very little of the stuff you have with you today will be with you at all. And I'm telling you this not to make some completely out of place comment about American consumerism, but I'm telling you this because in some very real sense, that same shedding will be happening to you on a bigger level, and it should. A lot of what education is letting go of things you don't need, the things you can now leave behind, and finding out what new things, what better things you can put in your boxes and trunks and carry around with you so you can look at them and draw on them when you need them. So you should begin by letting go of things right now. But I have one exception that I must note about stuff. It's about books. Books are good stuff. Books are little worlds and little portable reminders of who you were when you read that book. I read a wonderful memoir this summer when I had a chance to be on a porch near the ocean, and I liked this book quite a lot. And the writer had led a remarkably interesting and exciting life, and he had more than his share of bad times and good times. And of course, reading this book, I thought about my own happy times and my own less than good times. And I know when I think of that book, or even just see it on a shelf, I'll remember what the author wrote and what he said, but I'll also think about who I was when I read it and where I was and how I could look up and see the ocean when I took a break from reading and how I finished that book on a porch when it was getting dark and it was too dark to read, but I didn't want to stop reading because I was so near the end and I needed to stay sitting where I was to see how it all turned out. And I'll remember that feeling you'll get when you're rushing to finish a good book, racing to see how it turns out, but dreading the idea that the book is about to be over. I was supposed to be at an event that night, and I knew I was going to be late, and I did get there late. And when I got there, I know I had that "I just finished a book" daze about me. And in a small way, the world seemed different that night, and I was different that night. And the book will sit on my shelf, and it will always remind me of that. And I'm telling you this because DePaul can be that book for you. And DePaul can be that porch, the place where you read and think and change, the place where you can look up at the horizon and think about the world you know now because you're living in it, and the world you're about to know because you're learning more about it. For you, right now, it's the beginning of the day, and you're on a new porch, and you're just about to open the best, most interesting book you can imagine. In literally just a few minutes, you'll meet faculty and the other older DePaul students, the sophomores and juniors and seniors who have been waiting for you and wondering about you. In just a few hours, your parents will leave this campus, and the slate of your life, the slate you've been preparing, will somehow be clean and clear, and you'll begin to fill it up. So now, beginning right now, start making your world as big as you can. Open yourself up to any possibility you can imagine. Open up your ears because you never know when you're going to hear something that will present you with enormous opportunities. Open up your eyes and see something new. Open up your mind. Open your world. It will always surprise you. And I'm telling you, I am promising you that life on a campus can always surprise you. It can always get bigger. Take the amount of excitement you feel about being on a new campus with new buildings and now add to it chemistry and physics and history and classics. Add to it the excitement this faculty feels. Professor Victor Carlo and Marcia McKelligan want to bring you right to the intersection of physics and philosophy. Professor Susan Wilson wants you to learn that how you speak changes how you think. Professor Rebecca Schindler wants to take you every day in her classes to ancient Turkey and Tunisia to show you that the world once buried can speak to you in Greencastle, Indiana. Professor Eric Edberg wants to show you how classical music, instead of being stiff and complete, is actually a world that needs play. You came to a small college, and you were wise to do so, but your world is about to get to be unbelievably big, and we want to teach you many things. Now, the one thing I know we don't have to teach you right now, this day, is how to worry. If you are anything like the students we typically welcome here at DePaul, you are extraordinarily talented and you're extraordinarily bright, and you worry. And you worry big. You'll all worry that somehow you'll take the wrong class and choose the wrong major or act in the wrong way, and that somehow, despite all the evidence to the contrary, despite years of achievement, despite loving parents, despite good grades, you'll worry that somehow with just one wrong turn, one slightly bad decision, it will all become terribly and permanently bad. The worrying side of your considerable brains will make the stakes seem unbearably high. And the stakes are high, but not in the ways that you think. Class of 2013, look at me. I'm telling you, it's okay. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to say something less than perfect in class. And I'm here to tell you that never once, when I was a teacher rather than a person who gave speeches, never once did I watch a student say something less than perfect or even flat out wrong in class and think, that's it. That student will go no further in life. That student is forever relegated to a lesser place. They are dead to me. Never once did a student disagree with me or with another student, causing me to think, that disagreeable malcontent, I will now make their lives an unmitigated misery for the next 4 years. No. Every time I thought, something is happening here. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Those are not the moments of faculty dread. Those are miracles. They are why we are assembled here. And I want to tell you from deep personal experience and from a life filled with a remarkable and stunning string of mistakes and false starts and wrong turns and really awful dance moves permanently caught on YouTube. Yes, you can look it up. That nearly every joy I have found in life, every idea that has opened up the world for me, nearly every moment of wonder has come from the mistakes, from the stumbled path of discovery. DePaul wants to put you on the stunning, glorious path of discovery. And what you're about to do here is to gather about you a way of being in the world. So when you do face a moment of doubt, and when you do say something less than perfect in front of your friends, you will have the tools and the perspectives that will help you move forward. Mistakes are the real stuff you gather in your private boxes and trunks. And someday soon, you're going to cherish them. So what are you going to do here? You're going to learn, you're going to laugh, and though you can't imagine it right now, you're going to get to know all of us on this stage very, very well. And the people sitting next to you right now are going to befriend you and challenge you and change your lives. And as I said earlier, in just about 1,300 days from now, this class and this faculty and your family will gather again. But on that day, you'll be wearing robes. And you're going to walk across a stage in front of the library, in front of this faculty, and you will have in your head so many memories and ideas and thoughts that you'll think you'll explode. And you'll be a chemist, an economist, a dancer, a writer. And if we have done our job, if we have fulfilled the promise of a liberal arts college and a school of music, you will know that day that the world is full of magic and wonder. And if we have done our job and you are brave, and if you've recovered from any mistake you've made, and if you've opened your eyes and your mind and your heart, someday you will find yourself in a place that needs your unique talents, in a career that draws on your every part, in a life full of wonder and books and bagpipes and miracles, large and small. And on that day, I will read you a charge, read by the DePaul University president to every class on the day of their graduation. I would like to read that charge for you today so you know where you are going. And here it is. Young men and women, you are entering into a community entrusted with a noble inheritance. You are heirs to all that is past. Men and women of rich mind have labored, and you have now entered their labors. Prophets and sages, scholars and scientists, poets and public servants have wrought with patience and sought truth, and the abundant fruit of their toil is now yours, is yours to use, to increase, and to bequeath to your successors. The university charges you to be strong, to acquit yourselves with integrity, and to be loyal to your highest ideals. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are in good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think of these things. On this Saturday afternoon, as we welcome you on a day that starts one of the most crucial chapters in your lives, I can tell you that DePauw is true, DePauw is just, DePauw is lovely, DePauw is in good report, and I know you are too. Have no small thoughts here. Have no small dreams. Welcome to DePauw. I cannot wait to meet with you and to talk to you and work with you and find out how you're going to change us and how you're going to change the world. Thank you and welcome to DePauw.